Well, hello, it's Father Eli here, St. Joe's, Our Lady of Fatima. It's Friday, May 1st, so happy feast of St. Joseph the Worker today. I thought today for our topic I'd spend a little bit of time talking about the Reformation. This is a huge topic, and so I'm just going to give kind of a introductory to it, and maybe we'll continue on with it at some point. So the Reformation, what is it? Well, you probably are aware it's the time in history when the Protestant churches were formed. They broke away from the Catholic Church. So this happened in different ways in different places. So you probably heard the most well-known reformer, or the moment of most that we kind of idealize, is the moment when Luther broke away, nailing his 95 theses to the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany. So he was a Augustinian monk at the time, and he was teaching, and as much as we make a big to-do about this nailing of the theses to the door, actually this was a very common practice at the time. If you wanted to have a debate with somebody, or if you wanted to invite people to come to sort of a lecture or something like that, you would nail it to the door of the church. This is a university town, so people were often debating different things and things like that. So it wasn't anything unusual for somebody to nail these theses to the door and say, okay, we're going to have a talk on this. It'd be much like our bulletin boards these days in the church or other public places. So as much as people make a big deal out of that, it's kind of been romanticized. But anyway, Luther, he was kind of the first reformer, and so he was German, obviously, and his reform took place in Germany. He was the first one that we can say is really part of the Reformation. A little bit later, you have Calvin, who would be sort of the root of the Reformed churches. So they were not Lutheran, but they were not Catholic, and they weren't Anglican either. So the Reformed church kind of came about through his work. He really had his base in Geneva, which is in Switzerland, and started there and really sort of got things going. More of a sort of a city state, and he wanted to use the leaders of the town to kind of bring religious reform. So he's kind of actually a second generation reformer. He's not the same age as Luther. He came a little bit later. Also a Protestant way of looking at things. So I think they did meet at some point, but they had different ways of approaching it. So Calvinism was a thing. Another group, kind of in between there, was led by Zwingli. He didn't live as long because he was he decided to get involved in the military side of things, and he sort of led a revolt in Switzerland, and he was killed in a battle there. But he was more kind of a in between. He didn't really have a theology. It was more just a rejection of what he called the tyranny of Rome and so forth. He was a priest, so his rejection of Catholicism was kind of partly due to his own moral scruples, his own moral failures, and kind of wanting to find a new way to live. So that's where his reform came from. Then you have the Anglican Church, which was formed in England. So Henry VIII, if you know his story, he wanted to get married to a different woman than he was already married to. The church did not allow that. They said, no, or you can't give an annulment in this case. And so his way of getting around that was to start his own national church and to reject the papacy and the authority of Rome. He basically just wanted to have the Catholic Church, but in England, have kind of a national Catholic Church. And that's what the Anglican Church tried to be. So the the head of the church in England is the king, the monarch. So it's kind of a, it was his way of trying to have Catholicism, but get his way in the end. And of course, as we know, that didn't work out too well. The Anglican Church has continued to change over time and change its doctrines and kind of accommodate itself to the world. There's different strains of Anglicanism. If you're familiar with John Henry Newman, Cardinal Newman, who became Cardinal Newman later when he converted, he was kind of more the high Anglican, meaning more close to Catholicism. But then you also have strains of Anglicanism that would be closer to a Protestant or a, I don't know about Lutheran, but more sort of like the Methodist Church came out of there and stuff. So there's different forms of Anglicanism, but his was basically a rejection of the authority of Rome because he wanted to have his own church so that he could make his own rules and get his own exemptions. And that led the whole country of England into the breaking away from the Holy Catholic Church. So you have different forms. You also had different sort of little groups who kind of had their own format of how they wanted to live their faith. These would be, again, second generation sort of Protestants, kind of looking at seeing what the Lutherans were doing, looking at seeing what the Calvinists were doing, looking at seeing what the Anglicans were doing, and saying, we don't want to do any of those things. We want to have our own little church. And the various forms, kind of a bigger heading for this group might be the Anabaptists. And they were called that because they would postpone baptism or not do baptism until they were adults, or maybe not even at all. So the Anabaptists were, even though we use the title Anabaptist, it's sort of a bunch of little groups that kind of popped up all over Europe and eventually made their way to the States as well. And we would maybe call that group Baptist now. So anyway, there are lots of little forms of how this Reformation started. Now, with Calvin, his was kind of more of a intellectual approach. Luther, for him, it was more of a theological dispute. He saw the abuses of the day. You know, the clergy were not well formed. They were not morally upright many times. There were many bishops who were not living in their dioceses, but were collecting the fees and so forth. The church had lots and lots of ways to try to make money so that they could pay for different things that were happening. You know, the basilica in Rome was being built, and so there was a famous man who was going around preaching indulgences, that if you give money to the St. Peter's construction project, souls will get out of purgatory and so forth, like these sorts of things. So there was definitely abuses going on, and Luther saw that. And some of his 95 theses were good things to debate and talk about. Some of them were false, and we would still reject as Catholics, and even many Lutherans would probably reject them as well. So anyway, it's interesting to see how the Reformation started. It's a very complicated thing. Part of it is religious, for sure, but a lot of it actually is motivated for political reasons. Different people seizing the moment of chaos to kind of try to get some kind of advantage, some worldly advantage. And so it's very sad in some ways. It's very sad that the failures of the clergy, the failures of the leaders of the day, led to this breakdown in Christendom and really the end of the church of the Middle Ages. And what came out of that was nationalism. You have these national states that kind of started to rule instead of this whole united Christendom. You have England and France and Germany and Spain and different places kind of saying, we're going to be independent. Now, there was always some of that to some degree, but it was very much more pronounced after the Reformation. It also led to many wars, the 30 Years' War, the tensions that came out of this whole time led to much bloodshed, Christians killing Christians, and it was very sad to see that as well. So lots of bloodshed and lots of reasons to start wars. A lot of times they were, on the surface, they were a religious war, but underneath it was more a striving for political power, and the church was just kind of an instrument either to attack, we're throwing off Catholicism, or we're defending Catholicism. So whichever side somebody fell on, they used it as an excuse to go to war and try to gain territory or political power or worldly wealth or whatever. So that's why it's a very complicated thing. And ultimately, the Reformation led to the whole idea of secularization, which is basically the division of church and state, that we no longer, as a society, hold together and practice our faith and live our faith in the public sphere, but more it becomes a private thing. And why does this happen? Well, because if you have different religions and different beliefs, to live in peace, inevitably there's that tension. So it's almost easier to take your religion, your faith, and live it in private and not in the public sphere. So this happened over the course of many years. After all the wars and bloodshed that followed the Reformation and that happened during the Counter-Reformation, it kind of exhausted the continent. Many people were just sick of war and bloodshed and differences of opinion, and they just said, we've had enough of this religion thing. So it led to secularization, basically large-scale rejection of religion, or else kind of rejecting this idea that there's one faith. So because of that, you have the whole movement towards the Enlightenment, which is kind of this idea that God is distant and we're far from God. He's far from us. He's kind of the clockmaker God. So it had lots and lots of repercussions. So it's interesting, if you're a historian, you can see this whole progression of how this all brought about many bad things in society, and how the sundering of Christendom led to lots of problems that were not really anticipated. Luther and Calvin and these people, they didn't want to make the world secular. They didn't want to reject the public practice of faith. They didn't want to reject the public forum of faith that they had grown up in and lived. But that's what happened. That's what happened. So by the time you get to our time, you have quite a different world that we're living in. So that's just a quick introduction. We'll go more into it maybe at another time. But hopefully you're having a good day today on this Friday. And I hope you can maybe do some self-study of the Reformation. It's a very interesting time in history. Lots of things that come out of it. And maybe someday you'll have an appreciation for where we are, the challenges that we face, and a lot of them are based in the events that took place in the 1500s and 1600s. All right, God bless.